WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc.
I know you've been you've been killing it, and I know you've been like at every freaking station in town all day today.
Oh, that's been amazing. Yeah. You're crying me a river. Who cares?
Well, we were at, he and I were at All Boys Club.
Conference call.
Yeah, I know, she's been here.
I've been taking an elevator.
Are you still in the conference call?
Yes.
What's happening with Britney Spears?
Britney's not, we're on to Rich Girl now.
Okay.
Does that get tiring?
Sorry?
Does that get tiring?
No.
Yeah, good soul track,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The fact that she's working so hard.
You need to talk to her, she's not.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still, like, not used to this thing.
The Bluetooth? Yeah.
So, every time I see someone using it and talking, my first thought is not that they have a Bluetooth in it. I always think, the person's insane.
They're just talking to themselves.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think she's out here. Whoa. I'm really naive when it comes to that thing.
I can't say
you
that.
No, it's just like we were talking before you came in. Tennessee just passed a law. Can't talk to your cell phone while you're driving.
Oh, it's California.
See, I mean, this is it. You know, again,
California did that too.
Yeah.
And then they just put the text messaging ban because they didn't have that. And then people were text messaging, which is by far worse.
Oh, yeah. They said it's five. You were mentioning one story, but I heard a story last week. 5 times worse than drunk driving.
Yeah.
It's just,
we're gonna have a promise from Ian.
Yes.
Before he leaves this room, because he is very guilty of it.
Well, he likes to say that he's emailing. Like, oh, that's so much better.
It is better. It's not the same.
Have to type
a little bit short. It's not texting.
That's pretty crazy.
So,
you don't double fist it. Like 2 conference calls.
Not this one.
Yeah, they're just doing this all day. So you give them baseball signs.
Buy, sell, buy, sell, buy.
Oh, crap.
Well, we were up in Jersey at All Points West.
Oh, nice.
Did you get it? Yeah, we were there Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday we were in Manhattan seeing some friends. The rain started, and we knew that we had to drive back that night to get down here. And we were like, we really want to see Silver Sun pickups, but...
It's crazy. Yeah, it obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm glad it did, but it was pretty harrowing for a bit. They were worried about lightning, really, but not the rain.
Were you guys scared to go on?
Huh?
Were you guys scared to go on?
Scared?
Yeah.
Because of...
the weather?
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we played a show in Germany where the rain went sideways. And just smashed us and like fell over. We just kind of fuck it. You know, like, let's just do this. But I was nervous because the pedal board that I have was just collecting water and it now I'm gone.
Yeah.
But then the sun came out, which was really great. But no, we weren't nervous to go on. We were just trying to figure out if we were going on, what was happening.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Cage lost their set, didn't they?
They played it.
Did they play?
They played the day beforehand.
Okay.
There were 2 bands before us.
Oh, right.
They lost their set.
Yeah.
Which really sucked.
Yeah.
I felt bad for them. People just didn't know what to do. I think there was insurance things going on.
Sure.
They're trying to, like, find the best angle.
Right.
Last we heard, we were supposed to go on at 6, and pushing me back, and then about 10 minutes before 5, they said, no, everything's fine, you gotta go on at 10. I said, what? That's typical how it works. And you know what? We got to play, you know, which is great. And all those people waiting at the ferry area, and they got in, and we were the first band that played, so I think everyone was just really feeling very jovial.
Yeah.
The sun was out, and we were too. But I felt bad for those other bands. I could have handled better. And they were set up, you know, they were there all day, and the rain sitting up and all that stuff, and then they were just told to get out.
What was it, 2 hours late? 3 hours late?
Oh, it was, yeah.
I mean, doors there were 3-something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
pretty crazy. But it was fun. Muddy as hell.
But backstage in a situation like that where all the bands are in, like, standby mode, I mean, is that interesting for you so you can, you know, talk with some of the artists and stuff back there?
We didn't see too many of them because it was pouring.
Yeah.
We were sort of hidden, you know?
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time, I think it was like an hour, we met Pinfield on his radio station.
Right.
We were just in the bus and talking for an hour. Because he can do that.
After that first EP, Pickle came out.
Pickle.
And, you know, people, like, around LA especially started grabbing onto it and everything. did you feel that, wow, this is really starting to happen? Like, this is turning into something?
It's really weird. Yeah, I think it wasn't necessarily Los Angeles that tripped us out. When we make Pico, we wanted to have something out on Dangerford, have them put out an EP, and immediately start making the record. So we split our songs, and we had some on Pico, recorded 3 new songs really fast every day. And then just put that out really fast.
Right.
We just thought, just have this out, you know, whatever, and start making a record. And because of stations like KXP in Seattle,
yeah,
or Waxie, Cincinnati Internet Station, they started playing the song Kissing Families. So we were stunned that it was outside of Los Angeles.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so the EP Relegs that we didn't expect, and we started touring on the EP a lot,
right,
while we were making our record, so that we had like about a year later.
When it finally came out, and you know, Lazy Eye is just gigantic. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing Lazy Eye. It was awesome because the whole album,
it's really weird,
was just so fantastic. But were you just like completely blown away, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're always blown away at certain moments, but it's, we don't see it the same way because everything's built so organically for us.
And right.
It's like if you're getting really chubby.
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't notice, right?
Right.
And you're kind of like, oh, your pants are shrinking, whatever. And then you see a friend who hasn't seen you in a year and a half, and you go, man, you look terrible. You know what I mean? And that's sort of what for us, it all moves so slowly, you know, from when we started our band playing live, and the amount of attention that slowly got in Los Angeles, got to release the EP, and then how that started to spread, and then the album started to spread, and then even continued to swim in the same rise. It feels really natural, and so we don't notice it, because everything just got a little bigger, everything got a little crazier, and you're so busy, and you're a little busier, and you're busy, you know? We're always sort of thinking about the next thing that we're doing. Once in a great while, we have time off, which isn't much.
Yeah.
You look backwards.
Right.
That's when we go, what the fuck? How did that happen?
Yeah, right.
How did we do that before? We just did Letterman again, and we were there, and we were remembering even some of the curtains, and we were just tripping out. How we did that. We did this. This is something we did before.
Yeah, right.
We did do this before. You know what I mean?
Because it gets caught up in a whirlwind so fast.
It's, yeah. It's KCL. It's a bit of a world, and yeah, for us, we didn't pop on the scene all of a sudden. We didn't explode it, the biggest song we have. You know,
right.
It all just is slowly growing.
Well,
which is something that you really hope would happen.
Yeah.
You can't plan on it happening. We're lucky it's gone that way.
Do you work hard at keeping grounded with, you know, all the, you know, commercial success and, you know, being on video games and everything like that?
Yeah, it's not hard to be grounded, I'll tell you. I mean, for us, it's especially since if you ever get an ego in something and then there's 3 people that you've known for a long time and they're going through the same exact thing you are,
right,
there's a lot of slapping down. You know,
good.
We always go, next! Yeah. We do that too. But we've always, I don't know. I think the more success you have, the more humble you become. We've become shyer as a band, you know that for sure. But I think you just feel so appreciative that's happening, and then there's so much modern music out there. And then besides that, if all new bands stopped, there's enough old music that people haven't heard that they can just repackage it on for 100 years. The fact that anyone pays attention to you at all,
right,
is almost like, it should take your ego away, almost.
Right.
You should just really, really understand how lucky you are.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, you as a band have become more shy. Is that because, like, you know, media are constantly saying, like, oh, your name's Brian, but why do you sing so high?
And oh,
what
no.
makes you
no, no, that's, like, no, that sounds fun.
Yeah, okay, good.
No. We don't really pay attention to write-ups and things too much. And once in a while, we're probably curious about stuff, but it doesn't really have a lot of sway with how we are. We're really comfortable with our identity, so we kind of take that stuff as fun.
Yeah.
If it's good or bad, hopefully it's funny. You know, and we're like really big in misinformation. Now, we won't put misinformation out there.
Right.
But if someone delivers us something, like, oh, did you guys meet Disneyland? We'll go, yeah. And then they'll go, no, you didn't. Well, yeah, I did. Trying to be funny, we'll go with it. And what's fun is when you do that, then you'll see who's reading what. You know, especially with journalism and stuff. You'll see who read what article, what thing. Because that you asked us that question, which pertains to that lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's fun. But I don't know. No, I think the fact that there's so much attention, not really media, because that's, like I said, that's not really in our,
right,
our sight so much.
Yeah,
it's
narrator.
More just the attention at all. You know, they have bigger things have gotten our or the fact that you can't really necessarily want to go out and talk to everybody in the house with that, and you try as much as you can, but then it gets to a point where it gets a little crazy.
Were you concerned at all about the attention going into recording school? Because, like, you know,
no, I mean, luckily,
something so big.
Luckily, we didn't do interviews beforehand.
Yeah.
So I think we would be a little freaked out. Because after we did school, everyone was like, man, are you guys freaked? But no, but I'm glad we didn't talk to you guys. Probably would have been. We didn't think about it because we never did anything that aimed towards. We never thought we'd be on the radio.
Yeah.
We didn't think we'd be on television. And there's a safety to being left of center, you know. We're strange indie bands. We sort of saw ourselves. And so we didn't aim for any of those things. There's no calculations with us at all, you know. And we don't really believe in that. We think there's no way to make something work. If you start thinking that way, then you're in trouble.
Right.
You just have to. It has to be exactly what it is. It's what it's supposed to sound like before it came together. This is what it's going. And all that stuff is going to happen or it's not. And because of the success of Carnage, especially the song Lazy Eye, which I would say, if there's a songwriting 101 class, the teacher would fail from that student who wrote that song. Like, where's the chorus? It's like 6 minutes long. What the hell? No, come on. Radio stations have the radio edit and they change it to the album version.
Yeah.
It's like, same with Panic Switch. Like, some stations have the radio edit. A lot of them, like, screw that.
Yeah.
Put the real one up. And it shows you, it's like, what rules are they? This is silly. Look what happens when you take a chance. Something's sick.
Radio became, like, because of, you know, people are getting music everywhere but these days, why compete with it?
Yeah.
You know? Like, if people want to hear the album version on their iPhone or whatever, but okay, anyway. You know?
I know.
That's what it used to be anyway.
I've learned that. You know, I find stations really changing, and it's great because the internet came up, and there's all these different ways to play for people to find the bands that they want to hear that the stations aren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good that stations are changing because if they don't, it's just they're just wiping themselves out of, like, a generation.
Yeah.
Then kids are going to be like, radio? My dad listens to that. I don't find music on radio. Because every station will become classic rock.
Right.
So chances were never taken from the beginning. Never. Never. It's like going back, talking to people, and finding out they're trying to go back to their older model. It's the model that worked.
Yeah.
That made them the big model. You know?
Exactly.
Somehow online, things just got too scary and safe. Anyway, sorry, I've been standing there, but because none of those factors came in, and kind of was so successful, with Swoon, we just did the stage to music. We closed up, and our label didn't even hear the record until it was going next.
Cool.
They had nothing to say. They didn't want to mess with it. And if they said something, I don't know what we would have done.
Right.
But, hey, make that more of okay? Hey, make it good. What does that mean?
Yeah, right.
But we got lucky. But we did feel an immense pressure on ourselves to put out something that, at the end of the day, that we would feel that we worked our asses off on it. We didn't want a record out just because you had it. You don't really have to.
No.
No one would make you have a second record.
Right.
It's something that you have to hawk.
Yeah.
That's a business decision. We wanted to make sure it was a creative decision. much as reason for us to really where we wanted to get with this thing. And once we kind of figured that out, it was a pretty crazy experience. The only thing that we didn't want to happen was down the line where we came out, we just knew that we didn't put it all in there. You know, we knew we didn't work as hard as we should have. That would have been a disaster for us. So we made sure that would happen. Also, we were given time to make this record because of the success of the last one. So in some ways, people gave us the time to do it. So we were going to make sure that we used it, you know, and didn't sort of fuck off.
Right.
And that was real important to us. You know, we were very realized, like, wow, we have a couple, 2 or 3 months, so we're just going to be sitting in this room writing this record. We're going to do it. How painful it would be, but we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it was really, really worthwhile and awful and really therapeutic, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
We're from Charlottesville, and there's just a great folk music scene. There's like a huge diversity of music out there. But, you know, every band is trying to, you know, cut their teeth, yeah. You know, playing clubs, trying to make it. What advice do you, as a guy who's now got 2 great albums under his belt, a successful EP that you put on your own accord, to advise them, give advice to them, saying, this is what you should do?
I mean, our experience was really playing live a lot. I mean, you said this great music town, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And usually a great music town isn't necessarily because there's a lot of artists there. It means that the people that live in that town go to the shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people are fans of local music. And in the area in Los Angeles, East Los Angeles, Silver Lake, to be exact, Echo Park, just as many bands that live there. There was 5-6 times as many people lived there that would go see them. And go out to see new music and touring indie acts and things like that. And, you know, people would meet each other at bars where 4 bands would play. So you didn't have to, like, grow your, you know, you didn't have to, like, bring your own crowds. But we just started, like, who's our crowd? Oh, tough shit, okay.
Yeah.
No, clubs would give bands chances and things. So everything that we did was always in front of people.
Yeah.
We almost started too soon. We didn't really know what we were doing. It was kind of a different lineup and we were just playing. We didn't have time to practice. We were getting the show. We were terrible. And I wouldn't go to the mic. And we sort of found our identity, really, by playing in front of people. And we still find that now, too. We do the same thing. We can rehearse things all day long. But if somebody asks for an acoustic version of something, we end up playing it live in the air for the first time.
Yeah.
You know? And it's because it really puts the heat on it. And you really see how to make it better.
Cool.
You know? And that's been the thing that we almost went back to, as much of things have changed. After we recorded Swoon, we started playing live again. We rehearsed, and things were okay. Things sounded okay. It wasn't until those shows came where things really started to pop in. We understood it, you know. And I think it's just because that's where we were kind of born.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I say play.
Play.
Play a lot, and don't listen to anybody. Believe me, every decision we've made, everyone thought was horrible. You know, not anymore, I guess.
No. But,
yeah, we've gotten advice. We still get it sometimes. Like, you know, you guys should go on MTV. It's like, really? Let's go do that. But you know, somebody gave me advice once before an EP came out and said, you guys should get on a label. I thought, that's a great idea. No way, how did you think of that? Yeah. when we signed to Dangerbird, our label here in the States, everyone said we made the biggest mistake of our lives.
Well,
we were regretted. A lot of them were from major labels.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, stupid people. And then 6 months later, with EP that came out, we got a lot of people trying to get their bands on the label.
Yeah,
really
right.
Awesome. But whatever. Yeah, that, like, those are decisions that we made. I mean, we have made little decisions here and there where we felt wrong about it, and they went wrong.
Right.
You just have to kind of go, especially with the people you work with. Like, you just have a guttural feeling if there's a, if you guys really will click. And it doesn't matter how big and powerful it is, it's wrong. And that's why when we signed Dangerbird, it's perfect. You know, and that's kind of that, really.
Cool. Thanks, man, for taking the time today. Looking forward to the show.
Thanks.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I feel bad we didn't get to see you on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. We can.